section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
Young Bucks news, Hell in the Cell fallout, and a former champion returns. All this and much, much more on this week's Off the Mark.
This is TNA Impact referee Brian Hebner, and you're listening to Off the Mark.
86 Productions.
Off the Mark, we are the podcast that provides the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am Andrew, he is Aaron. Let's get right into the news. So Kurt Angle may join the world of MMA. Is this too late for him, though?
Absolutely, and we've been seeing reports about him signing with Bellator and potentially having a match against Shamrock, and I gotta say, Angle is past his prime. You know, he still can put on some pretty decent matches in the wrestling world, which is very predetermined. And don't get me wrong, I would not want to get into a cage with him by any means, you know. But at the same time, if you have someone who is trained to do that, taking him on, and granted, Shamrock's close to his age, even a little older, I think. But I think that it would be a big mistake for him to get into the world of MMA and say, oh, I just want to try it. Well, you know what? You probably should have tried it 15 years ago. So I think that this would be a huge mistake.
Yeah, because he's, if I'm correct, he's pushing 50 now, right?
Yeah, he's getting up there. If I were to guess, I would say he's probably about 45 years old. You know, I'm going to do a quick little fact check here for you. 46, so pretty close.
Yeah, and you got to think Brock Lesnar could have gone back, but he decided not to. And there's other guys who have tried to go back, you know, in their late 30s, and they just can't do it because the competition, you just can't fight them. You basically have to fight someone within your age range, which is kind of sad. But I think that in this case, he's just looking for a way, for another source of income. And I believe that this is the wrong way to do it. If I was him, I would take the pay cut and I would actually just try and become a performer or a trainer or a coach. That's what I believe he should do, because you can learn a lot from a guy like that. And plus, he's not in there constantly bumping night after night. He basically goes to practice, does his paperwork, and then leaves. That's the extent of it. I believe I think the WWE would hire him for that, and I think it would be smart on their part. But oh well. The big news, I think, is that the Young Bucks signed with Ring of Honor. But this is the weird part. It's an exclusive deal with Ring of Honor. That's the key word, exclusive. Mm-hmm. But here's my problem is that, oh, wait, they're still going to go wrestle in New Japan. Okay, yeah. So that means that they're just not going to be on TNA, Lucha Underground, or WWE. All right, well, why don't you just say that's what it is? And they teased it for a little bit, and, you know, it would be great if they were with NXT, but I think that at some point you're like, okay, you're great there, you're great there. If you want to make a name for yourself, you got to go to WWE first. Be there for 2 or 3 years. I mean, the minimum amount now guys are making is $100,000. If you're making more than that in the indies, that's great. But if you're going to get that for the next 3 years guaranteed, okay, then you get it. If those guys are hurt, I don't know how Ring of Honor contracts work, but most contracts, it's pay per date. So if they're hurt, they don't get paid. And that's the thing of this. But they did make me say, oh, I wonder who they signed with while I'm laying down sick, completely out of it on my phone.
The reason this is big news is that the Young Bucks have been doing really well in the indie scene. They've been doing really well in New Japan and with Ring of Honor. They actually had an okay program at TNA. That's where I first learned about them, and they definitely caught my attention. They really did. But hearing everything that they did in New Japan, it was like, wow, these guys have taken it to a new level. And I think it would have been nice for them to sign with NXT. I think it would have been kind of cool to see them there. It would have been a really great move, and they could have really built themselves up. And can you imagine a Young Bucks and New Day feud? That would be amazing. It really would. But, you know, unfortunately, we're not going to get that because New Day will probably disband by the time the Young Bucks make it to WWE. However, though, the reason that this is important is it shows that they were a hot commodity. Ring of Honor has been gaining steam. It is obviously the best known indie brand that is out there. And for them to get the Young Bucks, I think is really important. It's going to be interesting to see how the rest of their career goes over the next couple of years.
I wonder also, you brought up the hot commodity. It reminded me of something that happened last week in NXT with James Storm when he returned. Did you like the comment that they made about how he's been in the indie scene for the last 15 years?
No, I hate that. I absolutely hate that. I think that that is so stupid. It really infuriates me because TNA, while they are closer to the indies than they are to WWE, they are still well above a lot of the indies that are there. They have a contract with an actual TV station, you know, granted it is Destination America, but they are on TV. They, you know, get seen by about 600,000 people a week. And that's the main makes them not indie. You know, that makes them not indie. Ring of Honor, while it is on ABC at 1 o'clock, 6 o'clock in the morning, you know, wherever it is, their market share is obviously very, very little compared to TNA. So they take shots at TNA as much as they can, and I think it's stupid. I think it's childish too.
I do agree with that. If they would, but the thing is, they'll say Ring of Honor, but they won't say TNA. They'll say the Indies. So,
but I'm not asking them to say TNA or anything, you know. But like, I don't know. I just feel like it's their way of like, oh well, he was an indie promotion. He was never a world champion. Like really, like you guys are like splitting hairs here at that point in time. So whatever.
All right. So I think let's talk about WWE program for this week. I think the biggest news is something that we called, and I can't remember what it was said last week, but I remember us saying something about, you know what? I think Del Rio would come back.
And Roger immediately was like, no, I heard you guys talk about it. There's no way he's coming back. And I was watching it with him. He's like, oh, he came back. it was pretty funny. We had talked about a few people. We obviously all agreed on Dolph Ziggler. We thought he would be the guy, but we did throw out Alberto Del Rio because it would be a big shock for Del Rio to come back. And since they are looking for a top Hispanic star, it made sense. Del Rio came back. He beat Cena for the U.S. title. He came back with Zeb Coulter. It'll be interesting to see what they do there. Which actually is something you called because you said about Jack Swagger. Right. And when we heard that music, Roger and I looked at each other going, no. There's no way he is right. There's no way that he is right. Like then the hurricane's going to come out for whatever reason. Like, you know, but okay. So the important thing here is that, Del Rio has been, traveling across the US and doing different shows here and there. But when he came back, he obviously had some power to negotiate. And so he was able to negotiate an easier contract with them where he has less dates than most people. Now it's not the same as let's say Lesnar or Jericho, but he has less dates than let's say Ziggler. You know, he's not gonna have to work as many house shows. He may not have to be on as many Raws or Smackdowns, which is really nice for him because let's be honest here, and I think that they should do that just across the board personally. You should have to work less dates, but that'll help keep him fresh. You know, he's like 38 years old, so it'll keep him around a lot longer. And if anything else, Del Rio's the type of guy that you're probably going to have in your company for the next 7 years before he, before he leaves. And I think that would be a smart thing to do. You know, if he works 100 dates a year, 150 dates a year, keeps him fresh, keeps him, ready to go. So,
and especially if you say, hey, we're not going to have you wrestle house shows this week, but because there's a strong Latino influence in this area, we want you to work all three house shows, including TV tapings and Raw.
Absolutely.
And see, that's the smart thing.
You're in Texas, Arizona. Yeah.
Yeah. So he may only work Raw or Raw and SmackDown or a house show and then Raw. So he may work only maybe even sometimes one day a week, but two to three at the most. So, this is a great move on WWE. They needed someone. And the fact that he came back and beat John Cena the same way he won the world title, I thought was great. My problem was I did not like how he was booked afterwards. I liked the fact that he won, but I don't think he should have been in the Fatal 4-Way. That was my problem with it because realistically, he should have won that as well. But I understand.
Not necessarily. I think
it makes it looking back, though. I think
just to move forward a little bit, talk about Raw the following night. They had the winners of the matches go at it, and then those winners were in a Fatal 4-Way to decide the number one contender for the world title. to be quite honest, I thought that that was great storytelling for Raw. They focused entirely on the world title. They said, Seth, you've beat everybody that there is here. So now we're going to have someone fight in order to face you. And to be honest, I thought that was really smart because that's something that I like to see. I like to see the fact that, hey, guess what, guys? We know now who is going to take on the world champion 4 weeks before the pay-per-view. That's good storytelling. Now we have 4 weeks of a buildup. Now you have something to get me excited for this match. And I'm really happy about that. Del Rio was in a match with, I think it was Ziggler. And then they, after that match, they had a fatal four-way with the four winners of the other matches. I'm okay with that. And I disagree. I think it was really good storytelling. And he shouldn't automatically win. You know, if anything else, you know, he happened to not lose. Kevin Owens is the one that lost.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe he should have been, someone should have came out and, you know, beat him or whatever. So then he was taken out of the match. I thought that would have been.
He was taken out in a bunch of other ways. I mean, they had, you know, they ended up getting thrown out of the ring. And so.
I don't know. That, for some reason, that just rubbed me the wrong way. I have no idea why. And by the way, I want to point something out. The match they had with Cena, I didn't think was very good. I thought it was, you could tell that it's like, oh, here's Del Rio. We talked for 5 minutes about the match. That's how I took it, at least. I thought the match was like, oh, that's it? I really thought it'd be a lot longer. But I'm glad that they got everyone's attention. They're like, if you're watching Monday Night Football, you're like, oh my gosh, Del Rio returned? I got to turn on the WWE Network now. I don't want to wait.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was very smart of them to do. And if anything else, it just made people go, whoa, this is going on right now. So we have to watch this. So I was pretty happy with that. Now, Andy, the other thing, obviously the big match, what we all saw the pay-per-view for was Lesnar and Taker. The feud is over and Lesnar won. And Lesnar and Taker both got some color in the Hell in a Cell match. And at the end, they ripped up the ring and Lesnar was able to get a victory. First of all, what did you think of the match?
I don't know. This is watching, you know, I watched it with the friend of the show, Dave Pate, and we're watching it and I was like, no, that's okay. I was surprised that they did not go on top of the cage because I sent you a message before and I'm like, hey, just let you know, there's two ways to get up on one side, but only one on the other. I was like, oh, well, they're probably going to go through the cage at some point. And I thought that they missed that spot. I really think they should have a spot where he went through the cage. And the fact that it wasn't there, it actually kind of ticked me off, to be 100% honest.
It go through like the door, you're saying.
Yeah, like go through the door, go through something. I don't know why they didn't do that spot. And it really, I don't know why, it just bothers me. I'm wondering because I rewatched that match again right before Lesnar cut him, because Lesnar cut himself and I believe he's been cutting himself in all the matches, and then Taker cut himself as well because he shouldn't have been busted open. All of a sudden, oh look, because when Lesnar got hit on the basically on the post, he didn't hit his head on the post at all. He hit his glove and he missed his glove, and it was very obvious that he stopped right before impact. And then he gets up and it's like, oh, look, I'm bleeding. Okay. Mm-hmm. Who called that? And the rumors.
It also looked like, you know, like Taker, you know, there was a scene where it looked like he bladed and threw the file under the ring, mm-hmm. You know, so and, maybe.
So, you know, the rumors were that Vince McMahon was furious about this spot. Because,
and then that was quickly debunked because it was what Alvarez that said that, or Meltzer, you know, which I can't stand. I cannot stand Meltzer. I really can't. All he says is Vince McMahon may or may not have been really upset last night over some blood. And then we read reports a little bit later saying, yeah, that didn't happen, that he wasn't furious about that. And that's the thing that always annoys me about him, because
it was Alvarez, by the way, because I remember he said that he got a text message from someone.
Either way, like, it's all clickbait stuff that he says in order to try to get clicks. And it's annoying as all get out. Hate that guy.
But
hate those guys.
Anyways, but I thought the match itself, I mean, okay, it was good, but I really thought something else would have happened. And then what I was trying to figure out is, like, he's like, so is it over? And I looked at him and I go, it should be over. And then the Wyatts come out. I don't understand that. So the Wyatts carry Taker out. What was it that they couldn't find the bike for him to ride back out because he was that burnt, you know, blown up or what?
So first things first, I really enjoyed the match. It was easily the best out of the three. I thought that they did some really good storytelling here. You could tell that there was a lot of carnage. The match itself, I thought, was great. You know, probably top five of the year, to be honest. Maybe top 10. At the end, I was like, wait, what are they doing? Are they just kind of trying to give some fan service for Taker? And then to have the four of them come out, we actually thought that maybe Kane was going to come out. We thought that that might be something to set up for Survivor Series. And we think that that's probably still what's going to happen. Roger and I were talking about that. I would surmise to guess that, you know, the whole thing with the Wyatts, it's not done yet. And so they're going to continue this. We are going to have a 4-on-4 Survivor Series match where it'll be the four Wyatts against Undertaker, Kane, and two other people. My guess would be Randy Orton and Dean Ambrose because they still have unfinished business with them. So that's most likely what we're going to see at Survivor Series. And it's a way that you can showcase the Undertaker since it is his 25th anniversary there. You can showcase him. You can hide the fact that he is not a singles wrestler as much anymore because he is old. And so he can only be in the match, you know, a few times. He'll probably be in the match a total of like 4 minutes and he'll get massive pops, you know, each time. So
on a 25 minute match too. So yeah, they can go at least 25 minutes and maybe 30 minutes curtain to curtain. And that would still be okay because he can rest. And that's, I think, a big key on that. Yep. Now, I wanted to ask you a weird question. Do you think when we were watching the show, the 10 o'clock Eastern time hour hit and Owens and Ryback came out, do you think that that match was rushed?
Absolutely. It was absolutely rushed. That was the type of match where they say, all right, guys, this match went too long. You guys have like 5 minutes. And that's what they did. And so they went out there. They did the best that they could. And, you know, Ryback is not built for a 20-minute classic, which is fine, you know, and I'm not saying that he has to be. And, you know, I don't think that I'm not a huge Ryback fan. But I understand his purpose in the WWE. I'm not going to crap over him, you know, because, yeah, they had a 5-minute match. I'm not going to crap over them for that. That's more WWE's fault for their booking. But, you know, it is what it is. And Kevin Owens, I mean, he shows why he is one of the best in WWE today.
And it was still an okay match. It was more of a Raw match, but yeah.
Yeah,
now,
absolutely.
Now, Roman Reigns, he ended his feud with Bray Wyatt. Again, no one went through the cage. The cell. No one went through the cell, so I was a little disappointed with that. But Reigns, it's over with. Him and the Wyatts are supposedly done. At least he is done with the Wyatts. Mm-hmm. Now, do you think that it's somehow he's going to get thrown back into the mix with the Wyatts, or do you think this is like done?
No, I think that it is going to be done. I think that they're closing the book on that for the most part. You know, you might see them in a tag match that they throw together somewhere. But to go back to what we mentioned about Raw, Roman Reigns pinned Kevin Owens. And what was really a good match, you know, that Fatal 4-Way was a really good match. And I need to correct myself. Del Rio defeated Neville in order to make it to the number one, to the Fatal 4-Way. Where Ziggler was involved. So those four athletes, when they went at it, I thought they put on a really great show. And Roman Reigns works incredibly well if he's in the ring with somebody who knows how to wrestle. And I would love to see a Roman Reigns Kevin Owens feud. You know, when we saw Roman Reigns against Daniel Bryan, he took him to work and he said, this is how you wrestle. And I think Kevin Owens would do the same thing. And you also have the ability to get Kevin Owens over a little bit more because he could get a one up on Roman Reigns. So I think that would be a good idea. Now, they did take each other on SmackDown and, you know, Owens lost by count out, you know, because they want to try to keep some heat on him, which is smart. But Reigns is the new number one contender at Survivor Series. Reigns, Rollins. Finally, we're going to see this match. Are you excited to have this match in a singles, you know, for Survivor Series?
I keep saying it, but what scenario do you actually have Sheamus cash in?
Okay. So the man who was on the pre-show and the man who is now in a tag team, because they say that him and Barrett are a tag team now. You think that they are going to have him cash in now?
I don't know, dude. It seems that he's had the briefcase so long, and Don't get this the wrong way, but I do not want to see him at WrestleMania as the champion. I don't want him to cash in at WrestleMania to become the new champion. I just don't want to see him with a belt. I know that's horrible to say, but I don't think he's the guy. I believe you that. I think that it would be funny if Rollins does beat Reigns, but Reigns beats him up, and then he comes out, and then Rollins just runs out the ring, gets the count out. That would be funny, and we know we talked about that before, but I'm fine with that. Actually, if somehow Sheamus wins it, I will be disappointed.
So I don't think we talked about it on the show. I believe Roger and I were talking about this, and I said, you know what would be kind of some fun, smart booking would be to have Sheamus cash in. This is assuming, though, that it would be Roman Reigns winning the Royal Rumble again, Rollins still having the title till WrestleMania. Those two are going to go at it. And in the middle of the match, Sheamus cashes in. And Sheamus says, I'm cashing in. We're going to make it a triple threat match. And then it's a, oh my God, it's a repeat of last year. And then Rollins pins Sheamus. So Reigns, again, does not get his WrestleMania moment. So for two straight years, he's basically cheated out of the title, and so to speak, right? And we were talking about like how that might be some really smart booking, because that's a way that you have Sheamus lose the Money Bank briefcase and basically you say, oh yeah, no, it's not a guaranteed win now. Kind of like with the Royal Rumble, you know, it's not a guaranteed win. So you do that and it saves face for Reigns. And then that way you can help build him up a little bit more. And so that way when he finally wins the title, it's a huge moment. Obviously, they are not going to do that since Reigns is going to be taking him on at Survivor Series. But I don't think, you know, with Sheamus, I don't know what they're going to do. I think that I could see him losing that briefcase in a match. Like they have kind of what they did with Ziggler and Cena a few years back.
Oh, and they did it with Mr. Kennedy.
With Mr. Kennedy and Edge, same thing. I think we might see something like that, because Sheamus with that is a huge mistake. I think it was terrible booking. And I hope I'm wrong, but I can almost guarantee that if Sheamus cashes that in, it's going to be a huge mistake and the ratings are just going to take a tumble.
I actually do agree. Do you think that who's going to be the guy that steps up, by the way? Who's going to be the guy that steps up over since Cena's gone until, what, January or even the end of December?
December.
Okay, December, yeah. So he has this entire month off. Who's going to step up? Who is going to be that guy? Is it going to be Del Rio? You think Del Rio is going to be that guy? Do you think Owens? Do you think Ryback? You got Ziggler. I mean, you have guys who are close, and they're not. And I think this
Ziggler
is
will never be a world champion in WWE.
Really? You'll think he'll be the Mr. Perfect?
Nope. I don't think he'll be a champion, a world champion again. I don't believe that Ziggler will. And Del Rio, I believe, will be the guy to step up. That would be that's who I'd put my money on.
I'm just wondering how this dynamic with Zeb is going to work. We might have said it earlier, but I'm just curious on, was it the Mex-Americans or something like that?
Yeah.
I'm always curious on how this is going to pan out. But actually, so Raw, they planted the seeds, and sometimes I'm excited, sometimes I'm not. So I'm wondering what's going to happen. So anyway, so let's thank our sponsor, HostGator. Are you a blogger or podcaster, or are you just not happy with your web host? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installs, the FreeSite Builder, and hence the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And if you use the special coupon code OFFTHEMARK, you're going to save 25% off your web hosting packages. So what do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite out of your web hosting costs. WWE Network, Aaron, 20 months into the network. Did you buy your gift cards for Christmas, by the way?
Oh, not yet, but soon, soon. No, so the network has really evolved. So when we first got the network, when it first came out back in February of 2014, it was very interesting because, you know, this was brand new. We got to see a bunch of old pay-per-views and, of course, get all the new pay-per-views for free. With, you know, I mean, you pay the $10 a month, but whatever. You know, that's really cool. They've expanded it so much. They've started adding a lot of older shows. So now you can see a lot of Nitros, a lot of older Raws and ECWs, that sort of thing. I believe every pay-per-view from them is still in there. I don't know if there's any that they've left out or not, but you know, they've obviously have the main ones, which is the important thing. And the thing that I gravitate to the most are the originals. So one of them that I really enjoyed that came out about a month ago was Legends with JBL, which he had Eric Bischoff on there. That was a very interesting conversation. I thought it was really good. There was stuff in there that I did not know. Really liked it. Table for Three has been pretty interesting. And they obviously have a few others. But let me ask you, Andy, what do you, 20 months in, what do you like about it now that, you know, maybe wasn't there at first?
I like the fact that some of the shows could be a podcast, because there's times at work, and I don't mind saying this, where I can't watch like Raw. I can't watch the WWE Network, but to listen to it, it's great. Like I listened, like today, I listened to Table for Three with it was here's the weird combination of Neville, Bo Dallas, and Samoa Joe. That is a weird grouping, by the way, those three guys. But it was interesting just hearing like them talk, because like you could tell Bo Dallas was the odd man out. Like you should have put Finn Balor in there. I'm sorry, but Finn Balor should have been the guy in there. But it was cool how they're just sitting there talking about stuff on the road. I like when Ambrose was talking about a couple times when they went to the show, how one time they ran out of gas because apparently one guy didn't know how to read the gas gauge because he never drives. So they're stuck, like, I think they said like a mile or two from the event at CZW. they couldn't get anywhere. But I thought it was interesting because that's an audio thing. There's no visuals on Table for Three. So I really like that series. The rivalries thing, it's okay. You know, if I have time to kill or if I'm like working on like stuff for the network, for a podcast network, I will turn that on because it's not something, it's not visual. Sometimes it is, sometimes it's not. But overall, I mean, like I said, I've watched all the original stuff. I don't watch Superstars. The Raw pre-show, I don't really pay attention. And the week of WWE or whatever, I if it's on, I'll have it in the background. But I've only, I think, watched it like twice. Overall, though, the originals, that's the big key. And having NXT without having to wait the following day and watch it on Hulu, I think it's a big thing. So far, I'm happier with the network than I was a year ago.
Yeah, I think that's been really cool. You know, seeing all the additional stuff they put in there, not all of it's for me. I don't really care that much about Corey Graves' Culture Shock. You know, that's not necessary. I'm not the audience for that, and that's fine. You know, I don't really care for Unfiltered either. I'm not the audience. The WWE list, that's a little it's very TMZ for me. You know, and I believe that there's like a producer on there or something. You know, not a big fan of it. But the rest of the stuff, you know, taking a look back, the rivalries, that's something that I really dig. And they recently put out Rock and Cena, and it really looks back at those two and seeing the back and forth that they had before their two WrestleMania matches. And I thought that was fantastic, you know, especially that first one. The first one was so unexpected. And the way that they went about it, I thought was genius. I remember because we were doing the show at the time, and Cena said, "I want The Rock at WrestleMania." And I thought that is amazing. That is fantastic. I think it was WrestleMania 28. And I thought that was perfect because you have a full year of buildup. So you have a year where Cena can take a couple shots here and there and, you know, do some fun stuff. And they, you know, they talk about all that. And I love that. WWE Breaking Ground just came out, and that's also really great. I think that's, you know, I like these shows that they're doing that are season long shows that they're like, oh, we're putting out 10 episodes of this, you know, and I like that. I really have been a huge fan of the network. I think they've been doing such a good job with it, adding new content, keeping it fresh. That's how you keep subscriptions, because otherwise, if you don't keep the stuff fresh, then people are going to, you know, subscribe to it and for a pay-per-view and then cancel it the next month and then subscribe, you know, a little bit later. And that's something that I was doing, you know, just to save a few bucks here and there. But now it's like, I can't cancel it for a week because they keep adding new stuff to it. And I really love it. I've been such a fan ever since they launched it, and I think that they have helped revolutionize the wrestling business with the WWE Network.
Now, I have a weird question for you because I never thought about this till now. Okay, you have an Xbox 360. You have an Xbox One. You have a PS4, and you have, well, the Wii U, but it's not on that. But you also have a smart TV with the WWE Network. Have you watched it on all four platforms?
I have, yes.
And what do you think is the better one?
Actually, the PS4 is really good. Really? The phone, or I'm sorry, the TV is nice if you want to just have the remote in your hand and that's it. But if you know, don't mind having the controller, the PS4 is actually, I think, has a much better interface. I don't know how they do the development work for it. So I don't know if WWE does it and they were like, oh, well, let's just give Sony a better one than Microsoft. Maybe that's what they did. I don't know. Or maybe Microsoft and Sony developed them independently. But I think Sony has done a better job.
All right, that's interesting. I was always curious about it, but now we have the answer. But yeah, I do like the fact you talked about a few shows ago about the hack where you'd pay 10 here, 10 there, 10 there. So I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah, so we talked about this probably 3-4 months ago, now, maybe even longer than that, where you don't have to pay $120 a month. If you only went by the pay-per-views, it'd be $70 a year, and you would get every pay-per-view if you, you know, subscribe the day of the pay-per-view, that sort of thing. But now with the NXT specials that are coming about, those are happening. It's 4 times a year, which is really great. But they have the Stone Cold podcasts, which are happening about once a month. So you almost can't do that anymore. I could go and evaluate when they might come out and help predict that. But to be honest, if you went and you canceled and you subscribed again, you might save yourself $10 a year. Like, that's the way it is right now. And then you have to go through all the hassle of, you know, unsubscribing and resubscribing and doing all that stuff. So it, at this point in time, I think if you're a wrestling fan, I think that if you have any type of interest in wrestling, you have to have the WWE Network. And I think that's one of the ways that they are staying so far ahead of Ring of Honor and TNA and New Japan and all the other wrestling promotions, is by having this.
Do you think that UFC or Ring of Honor are going to say, you know what, to keep up, we got to do this? This is how people are watching. Or do you think that would only happen with like UFC if their pay-per-view buys started to go down?
I think UFC would be very, very smart to do something like this. They have their own thing. It's called UFC Fight Pass, where it's $10 a month, but you can prepay it, and so if you do like a 12-month commitment, it's $8 a month. You could do something like that, which I think is really smart of them. And you get live events, but you don't get the pay-per-views. You get the fight library. But if you were a UFC fan and you found out, guess what, it's $10 a month and you get the pay-per-views, hands down, people are gonna be buying it. You know, people will buy that no matter what. I think that they're actually doing themselves a disservice, because $60 for the pay-per-view and you're only going to pay for really one match, which, you know, is like Ronda Rousey. I don't know. I think UFC would do themselves a favor by doing something like that. Ring of Honor and TNA have something similar, but they don't have something on the level of WWE. And when you're that big, you're able to take risks and lose money the first year or first 2 years in order to make it a much better platform. And WWE has done just that. You know, it's much better platform now. I don't know what the subscribers are, but if I were willing to bet, I would say they're probably 1.5 million by now. You know, not in the U.S., they're probably 800,000 or so. But I'd be willing to bet that it's probably like 1.5 million.
You know what I just realized is that we'll find out the subscriber amount or how many accounts there are actually the day the show is released.
That's right. That's right. We'll find that out.
So, I hope it's that high. Just think, if they said it was 2 million, your stock in WWE, if you find out early that's what it was, you just call your guy up, be like, dump everything in WWE, everything.
And hey, let me just say, look, I'm not, I own 10 shares. All right. I did that because I bought it when it was a little bit lower. Like, it is no way, shape, and form to try to get people to buy the WWE Network. I'm saying, if you're a wrestling fan, I would recommend it, because you will get your money's worth for it. I've definitely got my money's worth for the WWE Network.
Weren't you upset when you bought it? You're like, oh, I went down like 50 cents or something like that. You're like, oh, I should have waited. And then all of a sudden it's what, gone up $10? Is that right?
Yeah.
Because I think you bought it around the $10 mark.
It's basically doubled. Yeah. You know, so it's...
That's awesome. You invested $100 and now you have $200 into it. So,
yay.
You know, that's awesome. So just think, if it jumps up to $40, if we find out that...
If it jumps up to $40, I'm going to sell. Either way, I mean, the WWE Network, I think they've done some really good stuff. The one thing I would really love to see, though, I think that would be great, is to have the ability to share stuff with friends. That, you know, something that I could say to you, Andy, hey, I've been viewing this, you should check it out. You know, almost like a little social network, or, you know, vice versa, you know, something that Andy, I could take a look and be like, Andy's been watching this, oh, I may want to check it out. Or even be able to rate that, you know, like where you could take a look and say, you know, on the WrestleManias, this one is rated a 4.5 out of 5. I'm going to go ahead and watch this WrestleMania because it's rated so high. And that's something else I would like to see. But, you know, either way, 20 months in, been doing a great job so far.
Or make your best of, custom best of matches and then share it with your friends.
Exactly.
But I completely agree with you, everything you said. So anyway, so that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at AlthamArcade6. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast. And I want to thank all of our listeners for taking the time to download and listen to the show. And for Aaron Hughes, I am Aider Hughes. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.